It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today, the second area Engelbert Humperdinck show went on sale. He already sold out August 25th at the Hawaii Theater. Now an August 26th date has been added. We're really fortunate to have him on the line right now. He should be here waiting for us. Hey there, Engelbert.
Hello.
What's up, brother?
I'm good, thank good.
Great to hear your voice again, and appreciate you doing this. And
oh, my pleasure.
I know. It's fun talking to you. And clearly, Engelbert, one date in Honolulu, not enough. Explain for folks how these dates on your Man I Want to Be tour are also including a very special PBS television taping, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always wanted to do a special in Hawaii. I've always done. Ever since I saw Elvis's special, I said, you know, I really would like to do one. And it's taken years and years and years. And finally, the opportunity came along, so we jumped at it, and here it is. It's ready to go, and it'll be aired around Christmas time.
It's going to be exciting for folks. And one thing that I'm assuming will be included in your performance, your 1967 breakthrough hit, Release Me. Share some memories, perhaps hearing the song prior to covering it, and the huge response you had when you released it.
Yeah, how it happened was I happened to hear an instrumental version of the song. I didn't even know it was a hit song prior to me getting my hands on it, but it was a hit song with a guy called Ray Price. It also was a semi-hit with Esther Phillips, the R&B singer. Then when I got it, I heard it with Frank Weir, soprano sax, and I said, this is a great melody, to my manager at the time, who was Gordon Mills. I said, let's find the lyric and record it. So anyway, we found the lyric, we recorded it, and it came out on January the 13th, 1967, sat on the shelf for 3 months, not moving, and I was very disappointed. Then all of a sudden I did Sunday Night at the London Palladium, and bingo, I had struck gold. And the very next day it started selling like 80,000 the first day, 90,000 the second day, and then it went up. And the most it ever sold in one day was 127,000.
Wow. And that's a TV appearance, basically, that then boosted it.
Yeah, that TV appearance did the whole thing. Took it off the shelf and put it right into the charts. Stopped the Beatles having their number one, which is in the Guinness Book of Records, because nobody's ever done that before. And it was going to be their 13th number one.
Your own TV show comes not long after that, and not only did you have your own show, but I was doing some homework looking online. You were on so many other people's shows, too.
Like, oh, yeah, from Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, to
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis. First of all, I did the Ed Sullivan Show, which started my career in America. This song, Release Me, really went around the world, was number one around the world, and made my career a global career immediately, you know?
What was it like when you met Ed Sullivan? That had to be like a mark that, wow, my career has taken off.
Unreal, yeah. Ed was famous for making mistakes in the show. First announcement he ever made, he screwed up my name a little bit, but then they had to stop and cut and do it again, you know? Who wouldn't with a name like that?
Right,
you know?
I know, trying to look at that on a teleprompter or whatever would have thrown anybody off. And that was your first American TV appearance. When you ended up on like Dean Martin's show, had you met him prior to doing his show?
Yes. Well, no, when I first did his show, that's where I met him. And then we became friends. He actually loaned me the Gold Diggers, you know, the girls that were on the show. And I took them out on tour, and they were my opening act for a while.
What's a personal offstage moment that you remember fondly with Dean?
Well, you know, offstage was like in a restaurant or something like that, you know, in La Familia in Los Angeles, you know. And, of course, Dean never, ever, ever called me Ange or Engelbert or anything. It was always Humpy Bumpy Lumpy Dumpy,
right.
You know? Yeah.
And another heavy cat that you're associated with, Cary Grant. He had a relationship with Fabergé, who sponsored your own TV show. How much interaction with Cary did you have? Any stories there?
When he first came to see my pilot in London, he was looking at the screen, and he was looking at me, and looking at me, and he had a sense of humor, very dry, but he's looking at me, he says, he's my own handsome boy. If I was 20 years younger, I'd marry you. I smiled, you know. But you know what? He became a great guy because when I was in the States, I was playing in Las Vegas or anything like that, he'd always be there with his daughter, come and see the show. You know, he had a 14-year-old daughter at the time, so he was a fan.
And when you watch some of the videos, again, it's Engelbert Humperdinck, we're so blessed, August 25th and 26th at the Hawaii Theater. When you look at some of the videos that this cat has online, one of the ones that really blows my mind, and there are a lot, there's one, it's you Tom Jones and Billy Preston all playing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Tell me the backstory of that.
That was part of my show, and they were both my guests, and that's the song we decided to do, which was quite apropos, and there was a little bit of humor prior to that with Tom Jones and myself, talking about my sideburns, of course.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And an incredible moment, the three of you all playing and singing together, Billy on the keyboard, and there's also another great clip, you singing the Beatles on TV with Bing Crosby.
Yes, can you believe that? I mean, I've had the opportunity of being with the greatest stars in the world. I mean, like Bing Crosby and Bob Hope were a great team together, you know. And the funny thing is, after I'd met Bob, I started to do the Bob Hope shows, and I also played in his tournament, so we became friends. He really took a liking to me, Bob did, you know, and so I kept going to his golf tournaments, and I kept doing shows with him. You know, it was nice.
Oh, that's an incredible cat, too. And
yeah,
he,
big, that was a big one.
Oh, I imagine. So you were going, you had already had your hits and your TV show, and then you were guesting on their shows, too?
Yes, yeah, very fortunate.
And you played that Bing Crosby thing I'm talking about, I guess it's Yellow Submarine, I can't remember which, it's some Beatles classic, you guys are sitting there singing it together. Was that his show or your show?
No, that was his show.
And when you weren't doing those kind of sit-down talk sorts of shows that we've been talking about, you were also a guest on some major sitcom-style shows, The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, The Jeffersons. What comes to mind when you think of any of those experiences?
Oh, well, I thought they were all good experience for me, and I loved Love Boat. You know, I thought that was a great time for me, and I did Fantasy Island.
Ricardo Montalban.
He was a lovely, lovely man. He also took a liking to me, and he was tutoring me as an actor, too, you know, as we were doing the scenes.
How long of a shoot was doing that kind of thing? Were these kind of things a couple days or longer? Or?
It was a few days, yeah.
How about the Jeffersons with Wheezy and the gang?
I can't remember too much about that because that seems to be a long time ago.
What a career when you can't remember when...
I know. You know, sometimes the mind slips up a little bit.
No, you've been spoiled with a lot of great gigs. Obviously, one of your biggest connections, Elvis Presley. You spent a lot of time with him. Did you ever spend time at Graceland?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't go there. I think the only time I spent time with him was in Vegas. Apart from that, I learned a great deal from the gentleman. I learned humility, and because he was such a charismatic character, and I watched him, I took everything in he ever did on stage. To me, he was the greatest performer, stage performer I have ever seen in my life. And it was just a sad thing when he didn't continue it. He died very suddenly.
Were you still in contact with him up through 77?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember your last contact with him?
I mean, the last time I saw him, I didn't like the way he looked. Actually, it was with my conductor, who's just passed away, actually, just 4 days ago. His name is Jeff Sturgis. And Jeff and I were talking, you know, and I said, you know, Jeff, I don't think Elvis looks good, you know. He doesn't look good to me. And, of course, 6 months later, he was gone.
Oh, wow. That was the early part of 77, it sounds
yeah.
like. And you ran into him. You saw him in person in Vegas.
Yeah.
And interacted, like, backstage, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Come full circle in our conversation today. Good spot to leave it, since, as you said in the beginning of our chat, it was Elvis's Aloha from Hawaii special that inspired you to book these dates, August 25th and now August 26th, the Hawaii Theater, where you, Engelbert Humperdinck, will be recording your own special from Hawaii, due on PBS TV around the holidays. Really appreciate you being on the show this afternoon.
Very nice to come up in and see the show, if you will.
I intend to see the show.
Good.
And a real thrill to have you on All Things Considered.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Aloha, Engelbert Humperdinck here. Yes, that Engelbert Humperdinck. I don't care where I am in the world, I do not miss this show. It might be 3 a.m., I don't care. I'm tuned in to All Things Considered with my friend, Dave Lawrence.
Please release me, let me go. For I don't love you anymore. To release me and let me love again.